Blog Talk Radio.
Jump into things with the guests. If you're looking for some wrestling, primetime wrestling today in Paris, Kentucky. Blue Collar Wrestling having its 9th anniversary show today in Portland, Oregon. And WAC, Without a Cause, is in Everett, Washington today. Final appearance there for Aubrey Edwards before she goes completely full-time with AEW. You can find myself there cheering on Aubrey Edwards later this afternoon. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest today. He is a fine official out of the state of Indiana. Joshua Gatton, welcome to the program today.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Since today's your first time with us, we're going to start you out with the traditional first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
As a child, I was a fan of the business, and just as life progressed, things didn't work out how I wanted, but I made them kind of work out. So when I turned 23, I decided to follow the dreams of becoming a wrestler.
Had you had any prior background that was going to prepare you for professional wrestling? Did you have any type of previous athletic background, any type of officiating background, a drama background, anything like that that was going to help prepare you, or was pro wrestling training sort of where you started?
I would say pro wrestling was actually where I started. I did a few things here and there, but nothing really stuck in school. And then I decided to do the professional wrestling and went out there and started getting beat up and wasn't sure if it was for me. But then as I got in front of the crowds and started realizing the dream, I realized this is exactly what I wanted to do.
Now, you've been officiating wrestling for a while, and obviously you're going to come across some veterans on these shows at some point, guys that have been around for 10, 20, 30 years, or possibly more than that. Have you sat down with many of the veterans to have them critique what you're doing, maybe help you find some things that you could fine-tune with your performance?
Yeah, there are a few of them around here in the central Indiana that are more than happy to help. Some of them that I do go through are Hillbilly Jed and guys like Donnie Tsunami, just people who've been doing things and that are still around here in the area. But Other than that, some of them that have had that time are either just at other shows or just not showing up because they're not booked.
Hillbilly Jed, definitely someone I always listen to as well, so that's a very good choice. Now, everyone that enters professional wrestling has a different end goal. Not everyone's dreams and aspirations within the business are going to be the same. What would you say is your end goal for professional wrestling? What's the thing that you most want to accomplish as far as your career goes?
I just want to reach as many people as possible with the Recognize Your Worth brand. And right now, using wrestling to get that out there seems to be the quickest and best way for me to do that. So my end game in wrestling is just to make sure that this area, if not a wider span of the area, just starts seeing things more positively instead of, as you know, the wrestling world sees things more negative than they do positive. But that's starting to change, and I would like to be a part of that change.
I brought up Recognize Your Worth, and that has started to catch on. There's a Facebook group for it. There is merchandise out there. Can you take us through what your mindset was when Recognize Your Worth first formed in your head as something that could be viable and where you see that brand going forward from now?
Well, really, it was just started because I was tired of people telling me how much I was worth or what I should be doing with my life. And like most people, I had the naysayers that wrestling's nothing good for you. You need to get out of that and find something real. And to me, I was tired of people judging me and telling me what was right and what was wrong. And I knew deep down that I wasn't the only one that felt that way. So I wanted to do something to where I could reach out to everyone and figure out the ones that do want to follow their own path and don't want to be judged and whatever. And so I started the Recognize Your Worth brand. And that's just where we're at right now. Got some merch out there that people can purchase and help spread the word. Or they can just share or like the Facebook page and start sharing the positivity that I put out there.
What would you say has been the reaction so far to the merchandise? Do you see a lot of people picking it up so far? Is it moving fairly briskly for you? And do you have a lot of people giving you feedback on what they like and what they don't like with the merchandise?
Yeah, as far as the feedback, people aren't really telling me what they don't like as opposed to the things that they are more inclined to buy or push out there. And sorry, I lost my train of thought. My son came in here to say something.
No problem.
Yeah, the overall feedback seems to be good. I don't really have anything to compare the movement of the merchandise, but I feel like it's moving pretty quickly, faster than I anticipated it to, at least.
Is the merchandise something that you're taking to shows where you officiate so you can sell at the merchandise tables there, or is this strictly an online type of movement right now?
Well, I'm currently trying to work on an online store, so the online stuff is really just through Facebook or Instagram through me. And so I have been packing up and taking it all to shows, and it seems to be doing very well at some of the the local home shows. But when I'm out and about in another state where the fans may not know of me, they seem to just walk away from it.
Seems reasonable if they aren't familiar with it, I guess. Now, obviously, you're trying to sell the merchandise through Instagram and Facebook, and you've built the Recognize Your Worth Facebook page to try to get the word out there. In this day and age, social media has become almost a vital component within professional wrestling. It's used for promotion. People use it to find work in the business. People use it to try to establish sort of a brand amongst the fans. Do you think that overall, from what you've seen so far in your career, that the bulk of the local wrestlers around you understand how to properly and successfully use social media, or do you think it's still an ongoing issue where a lot of people don't know how to properly use it or successfully use it?
And to answer the question, I'm not even sure I'm using it properly. So I don't think any of us are understand it and know how to use it properly quite yet. If we did, I'm sure everyone would have millions of likes, follows, shares, and we'd be packing every arena.
Hopefully so. I know it's a constant struggle with social media. We've seen in the national promotions that people have been fired from companies, they've lost their contracts due to years-old social media posts that the company deemed inappropriate and needed to cut ties with. In this day and age, with social media being something that is taken into a factor when being dealt with the national companies, do you think that wrestlers having a social media platform from a personal standpoint is necessarily a good thing for them, or do you think that people in the wrestling industry need to keep their personal profiles as far away from their wrestling profiles as they can? Do you think there needs to be that divide, or do you think that there's sort of a happy medium that can be established without affecting their potential wrestling careers?
Oh, I mean, the safe bet would say to keep them completely separate. But you could also play the field of having that perfect medium and being able to reach a different type of audience that isn't strictly wrestling. So it's really just who you are and if you're able to find that medium.
One of the other aspects in professional wrestling that has been controversial in the last few years is the aspect of blood in matches. Some companies try very hard to stay away from any blood during the course of a show. Some companies thrive on as much as there can be. Some companies use it sparingly. With the knowledge that we have medically about bloodborne pathogens and things of that nature, and just what you observe from shows that you do, where do you stand on the place in the business for blood right now in 2019?
There's a time and place for it. I mean, it doesn't need to be in every match. It shouldn't be in every match. And it doesn't even need to happen every year. If it happens by accident, then it happens. But if it's one of those, dare I say it, where it's a planned blade, it's unnecessary for that stuff to be happening all the time. The risk is not worth it out there, in my opinion.
One of the things that leads to blood quite often in wrestling are stipulation matches. You have everything from the steel cage to bull rope matches to first blood matches to 2 out of 3 falls matches. All of them, of course, varying degrees of probability for seeing blood in them. Have you done very many of the stipulation matches so far in your career?
Yeah, I've done quite a few. I've done the cage match, and I might be doing another one this evening. I'm not sure if I'll be lucky enough to get the main event tonight, though. I've done a few ladder matches, done an Iron Man match, done a couple 2 out of 3 falls, a couple street fights. I did a street fight not too long ago for New Wave Pro out of Spencer, Indiana, where Cole Radrick powerbombed his opponent through the car windshield. So that was weird. Luckily, there was no blood there. Don't know how they pulled that one off.
When that happens, is your first thought to call for a paramedic, or is your first thought to call AAA?
The paramedic, I can care less about whoever's car that was. It wasn't mine, so.
Fair enough. You mentioned doing an Ironman match, and those can be very taxing for everybody involved, the performers, wrestling the match, and the official involved as well. It takes a lot of good conditioning to get through, be it half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour, however long they designate for an Ironman match. What's the conditioning training for you like going into something like that? Do you do anything special in order to be prepared for that, or do you already have a solid enough training program that you are comfortable going into it without anything extra?
Well, as of right now, I'm not doing much of anything. That's just me being lazy. Before, though, I'd say up until about July, I was trying to run every morning for anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour so I could get like 2 to 4 miles in before I even started my day. But here recently, I haven't really done too much of anything, and that's just because I don't really have an excuse. Just been a little lazy here lately.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure he has questions galore for you, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
All righty.
Well, thank you, Sungay. Hello, Joshua.
Howdy.
Joshua, New Era Wrestling is going to have an event in Shelbyville on the 21st of this month. Can you tell us how many events there will be? Or can you give us a hint of who may be in the main event?
Well, the main event was announced. The winner of the Bob Oxley Cup from last month, Brett Havoc, will be challenging the newcomer and New Era heavyweight champion, Jake Carter. So that match should be pretty good.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to go into another match, which was UConn Mike defending his United States title against Hillbilly Jed, J-Plex, and Matthew Galloway's in a fatal four-way match.
Ooh, wow. Now, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans about how big UConn Mike is?
He's probably right around 6'2" and a good 240 pounds, but the man can move around like a cruiserweight can. It is very impressive to watch.
Do you believe that at any time UConn Mike could step onto a semi-pro football team and make it instantly as a linebacker, a semi-pro team?
Easily. Easily.
Oh. Do you think he could have a shot at making a legitimate pro football team, NFL?
I'm not too sure about that one. I don't know his knowledge with the game and if he'd be able to keep up with the pros who practice day in and day out and make it part of their daily regimen.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Joshua, can you tell us what colors your high school were? What colors that they adopted?
The traditional red, white, and blue.
Oh, okay. Red, white, and blue. Now, they weren't named the Patriots, were they?
No, they were not. We were called the Indians.
Oh, okay. The Indians.
Yep. The Indian Creek Indians.
Oh, I thought you went to didn't you go to a high school named Franklin Community?
Yeah, I went my senior year. I finished out there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Considered my home school.
What colors would you change them to if you could go back and have an honorary referee change for your high school, your colors?
Oh, I don't know. I'm fine with the red, white, and blue. That seemed to work.
Oh, okay. All right. So, in your opinion, if you could change your mascot to a llama, would you? A llama?
No, I don't think so. I don't know anything about llamas.
Oh, okay. Well, I only asked this question because it's a legitimate wrestling question. We had a fan out here on a card in Marysville, Washington, and he had a llama head on. It made a very
okay.
big impact on me. Yes.
Well, if it works for him.
Have you yourself ever been at a wrestling event while refereeing, looked out at the crowd, and saw anyone with a llama head on?
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I only ask this because I once read an autobiography of Jerry Garcia, singer and guitarist of the Grateful Dead. He was known for taking LSD sometimes, especially in the 60s. I think he, of course, kind of cut that down a little bit later on. But anyway, at one event, and I only say this because rock and roll and wrestling have a symbiotic relationship. He once was playing along, and he looked over, and his bass guitarist, Phil Lesh, had dressed himself in a purple Barney suit. And Jerry thought he was hallucinating there for a second, seeing Barney on stage at a Grateful Dead. Yes. Okay. Well, and so I was kind of reminded that at that card in Marysville, Washington, with a llama. Yes. Now, speaking of which, I don't think the identity of the llama has been procured or made public. However, you know, I'm pretty sure it was a fan. Do have any fans at any events that you have refereed in got overenthusiastic and rushed the ring?
Yeah, I've actually had that happen twice with me out there involved.
Oh, can you tell us what happened and who maybe the identity of the fan was and had he been drinking?
I don't know their names. one of the shows they may have been drinking. Security was able to pull them back before they even was able to get inside the ring. And the other show was a smaller show, and one of the gentlemen just got angry at the heel and decided to slide into the ring, and I was able to hold him there before anything could get out of hand.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, in high school, did you yourself turn out for sports?
Yeah, I tried out for a few, and with the Indian Creek, the way it was is that you always made the team. We were such a small school, but that doesn't mean that you always got to play.
Oh, okay. About how big, how many people did you have going to school at Indian Creek?
In the class, you had about 150.
Oh, so. Okay. You mean 150 for your senior class or altogether?
Yeah. Yeah, just for the senior class.
Oh, okay. Now, did they have a wrestling team?
Yes, we did.
Oh, did you go out for the wrestling team?
I actually did, and I was such a small athlete that I didn't have very many people throughout the state that was in my weight class, so I didn't really get the chance to wrestle too often.
Wow, okay. Now, was that during your senior year, or did you wrestle 3 years?
No, that was my freshman year, and then I left it after that.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to say during your freshman year, you were one of the lowest weights. I'm going to say 103 pounds.
No, a little lower than that. I was the 93.
Ooh, wow. Hey, that's getting down there.
Yes.
I've never heard of high school weights getting that low, 93.
Yeah, I was I'm still a small person.
Well, actually, I take that, well, ninth graders, yeah, 90, okay, I can see 93, actually, again, that is a lightweight, but it's not uncommon for freshmen. That's okay. All right. Can you tell us how much you bulked up during your sophomore year, even though, keeping in mind that you weren't wrestling?
Yeah, I didn't bulk up.
Oh, okay. Kind of stayed the same.
Yeah, for much okay. of my life, I'm still very small.
Oh, okay. All right. Right. Well, Joshua, have you ever thought about refereeing at Shikara Wrestling?
Yes, I have. I've rode out to Pennsylvania during this year's Young Lions Cup and got to meet some of the guys and meet Mike Quackenbush. Then I got to speak to him again last month at a show. He came to Indianapolis for Bizarro Lucha and wrestled Billy Rock. And so I put the feeler out there for it.
Wow, all right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners how big Mike Quackenbush goes?
He's probably 5'11". I want to say right at the 190 pounds.
Ooh, hey, now that's a pretty good size. Not bad. Did you have a chance to meet a wrestler named Sugar Dunkerton?
Yes, I've ran into him a few times in my time in the area.
Oh, okay. Have you ever shared a Dunkin' Donuts with him, with Sugar Dunkerton?
No, I have not. I've barely been able to share a conversation with him.
Wow. Okay. I guess he's pretty busy doing promos and all that, huh?
Yeah, super busy.
Oh, okay. Now, do you see yourself returning to Shikara Wrestling in the new year, next year? Would you like to do that?
Yes, I would for sure love to do that.
Have you ever thought about refereeing in Japan?
I thought about it, but I'm not sure I want to make that leap quite yet.
That is a long flight, yes. But many fans who do make that flight happen to stop in and stop at a steakhouse in Tokyo. Yes.
Yeah, the Riviera?
I think that's the one, yes. Yes. Okay. Well, Joshua, have you ever been ranked in Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
I do not think so.
Oh, okay. Don't I quite keep up with that. All right. Well, now you said early in your career that you actually had some matches as a wrestler?
Yes, I did.
Were you ever in a tag team competition? And if so, was it mixed gender? Did you have a female wrestling partner?
I have done a tag team match in front of the crowd. And no, it was not an intergender match. But in my training time, we did train with the females.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us some of the better female wrestlers at New Era?
At New Era, we don't really bring in too many females at the time. But
okay.
In the Midwest area, there's a couple up-and-coming girls, Billy Starks and Alice Crowley. They're really putting in the time and effort to get better, and it's really showing right now.
Oh, okay. All right. About how big does Billy Starks go? Ballpark figure, realizing that it could be a sensitive subject.
I'm not too sure. Her and Alice both are a little shorter than I am, so I'd say Billy's probably like 5'8", and Alice is probably right around the 5'9". And I don't even want to touch on anything else at the moment. Don't want to get myself in trouble.
Oh, that's fine. Now, have you in all your refereeing, have you ever come across a female wrestler, Casey Carlisle?
No, I have not. Not yet.
Are you
familiar with the name?
Oh, okay. Are you? And you're not familiar with Sign Guy's Sign of the Times?
Not with that portion. I am familiar with Sign Guy.
We'll have to fix you up with some of Sign Guy's Sign of the Times, which features female wrestler Casey Carlisle, who is usually holding the largest title belts you have ever seen. Yes.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Now, Joshua, are you familiar with a wrestler, Seymour Snot?
No, I am not.
Oh, okay. He's from the Silicon Valley of California. He is also featured in Sign Guy's Sign of the Times, which we will forward to you. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, Joshua, both Sign Guy and myself have a friend in Indiana who is a fellow referee for Hoosier Pro Wrestling, and his name is Dave Barnett. And while he is a referee in the ring, he is also referee for a rock group, the Razor Ramones. Do you yourself see a future where you will be a referee for a rock group? It's pretty pioneering.
I have no idea what that would even entail.
Well, I think I'm not sure. Now, I believe one of Dave Barnett's duty is to call he also works kind of like a security for the Razor Ramones. I believe he has, I don't know if a fan has ever been too close to the Razor Ramones, but I think he provides some security duty. And I think he has made some calls or counted the 1, 2, 3 to start a Razor Ramones song. As you know, the Ramones themselves, the Hall of Fame group, usually started out with bassist guitarist Dee Dee Ramone counting out 1, 2, 3. And so I think maybe has done that. Yes. Okay.
Very interesting.
Yes. If you do, if Joshua, if you do decide to become a referee for a rock group, can you let both Sign Guy and myself know? Because I think there's only one out there at this time, Dave Barnett.
Yes, I will let you. I will let you gentlemen know.
Okay. All right. Now, if you got yourself outside of wrestling and rock and roll, could you see yourself as a referee at a tea house where you could penalize the cashier for taking too long in the bathroom, a tea house?
Oh, man. That sounds like it could be a YouTube video to go viral.
Yes, I think
man,
so.
Just giving me an idea.
I only ask because there's a very good tea house out here in Seattle, and I think they need a referee, in my opinion. Okay. All right. Well, Joshua, have there ever been any WrestleManias that stand out to you from a referee's perspective? Any particular matches where the ref was almost the focal spotlight?
Not that I have really, I didn't really watch WrestleManias just to study them per se. I know there are certain matches on there that I should be there to study, but I tend to find myself finding the more focal matches where veterans or former trainers have selected the matches for me to watch.
Okay. All right.
So as far as referees themselves, I don't have one.
Okay. All right. Would it be safe to say that your mom and dad are your biggest fans?
No.
Oh, okay. No. All right. They're still getting used to the fact that you could get hurt in the ring, maybe.
Yeah, it's more the fact that my mother's passed on and no clue where my dad is, but that's for another time.
Ah, yeah, that would put a damper in things. Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Josh, has there ever been a time where another referee has not shown up on a card, maybe due to a flat tire or death in the family or an illness, and you had to referee a full card by yourself?
Yes, numerous times.
Oh, boy. Numerous. Have you ever refereed a match while powered by a lunch of only Haribo bears, the rubbery gummy bear type candy, powered by Haribo bears?
I cannot recall a time where that's happened.
Oh, okay. Have you ever seen any type of frozen food used as a foreign object by a wrestler?
I don't think, not frozen.
No, okay.
I've seen baguettes used. I've seen Jolly Ranchers, suckers, hot dogs. I don't think they've ever been frozen.
Well, Jolly Ranchers is kind of close to Haribo Bears, that gummy candy. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. Well, Joshua, why don't you think referees have entrance music? And if you yourself could have entrance music, would it be God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols?
I don't believe that would be the music I'd use. But I don't think that referees have entrance music because there's no need for it. We're not there for the show. We're there to officiate the contest at hand.
Okay, I think the only reason I ask that question is I believe Dave the Beast Barnett has entrance music by the Razor Ramones. However, they're a legitimate band, a live band. So, okay. Okay. Well, Joshua, has another wrestler ever asked you to dance in the ring as he or she was basking in the glow of a victory?
Not of a victory, but there was a gentleman a couple weeks ago who was trying to get me to dance in the ring, and it completely caught me off guard, and I just stood there in shock and awe.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who this wrestler was, and do you regret now not improvising on the spot and doing the Harlem Shuffle or something like that?
Oh, yeah, the wrestler was Chet Ripley, and I do regret not coming up with something. And I do admit it would have been a fun story to tell later in the years, but I just caught me off guard, and I didn't know what to do, so I stood there and said, don't do this to me, Chet.
Oh, now were the fans clapping and imploring you to do at least a few steps?
They wanted me to do something, and they eventually started booing me, so I felt really bad for not doing something.
Oh, wow. Okay. Have you ever thought that this could be an opportunity to tell the fans that you may have made a mistake and you called Chet out for a dance-off?
No, I never thought of that. He would wipe the floor with me.
Oh, he's a pretty good dancer, huh?
I'm just that bad.
Oh, okay. I only ask you this question because I myself have been highly influenced by the videos of Rikishi Fatu dancing in the ring with Scotty Too Hotty.
Oh, that's great.
Were you yourself a big fan of Rikishi Fatu?
Growing up, no, I really didn't understand him. As I got older into my 20s, and I was just going back and watching old DVDs of him, I started to really appreciate the work he was giving us.
Oh, okay. Joshua, would you yourself call yourself a wrestling historian? Have you read a lot of autobiographies on wrestlers, maybe even Scott Casey?
No, I wouldn't put myself up there with the knowledgeable people. I haven't read too many autobiographies. I think the only ones I have read are Chris Jericho's.
Oh, Chris Jericho. Okay. All right. So you wouldn't really call yourself a wrestling historian of the territorial days of like the 50s, 40s, and 60s?
No, I wouldn't say I was.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Joshua, do you think we will ever see in the future, say in the year 2026, a match where at least one of the participants is a robot with a microchip?
I don't see why not. Possibilities are endless. I mean, there's been guys who wrestle blow-up dolls already.
That's quite popular in Japan. And I think in Shikara they've had a few blow-up doll matches, I think.
Yeah, they may have. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Joshua, do you see yourself in any wrestling matches coming up in the new year? Any chance you will take off the stripes and do a specialized match?
It all really just depends on if the company needs me to do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Joshua, are there any brothers and sisters that want to follow in your footsteps and become a referee?
I don't believe so. I only have one sister. She's older and enjoys doing what she does and being a mom.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Joshua, you mentioned before that you had used running to help your cardiovascular health. Do you realize that the marathon on the international stage is now run in 2 hours and 4 minutes? That's 26 miles of running.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, I'd have to have a mini bike to keep up with them.
I don't. Yeah. Me too. And I really hate to do this to you guys, but I'm going to have to cut this short. I need to get on the road to my show tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no problem. In closing, is there anything that you want to plug from before you go?
If the listeners want to jump on to Facebook, they can find my like page. It's easy. It's just Recognize Your Worth, as well as on Instagram. You can find the majority of the same content if you want on Twitter at RYWREF. And just be on the lookout for a Square Up account for the Recognize Your Worth brand. And hopefully I'll have a website up and running in the next couple of days.
All right. Best of luck tonight at your event. And I continue to look forward to seeing you in the ring on all the shows. Keep up the good work.
Alrighty, thank you guys.
Alright, fans, get out there. If Joshua Gatton's on a show near you, go out there and support him. Definitely support the Recognize Your Worth movement. Good thing that he's doing, I believe. QT, speaking of some officials and doing good work, like I said at the top of the show, I'll be headed up to Everett today to the Without a Cause show. It's Aubrey Edwards' final show with the company as she begins full-time employment with AEW.
Wilson, you're going to have to ask Aubrey if she would like an interview in December. Aubrey.
I don't know if she can accept them anymore, sadly enough.
Well, okay. Well, if she could squeak in a little bit of time, you could keep that. On the ledger. Maybe you might ask her in passing. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Maybe. I have not seen the details of her contract with AEW to know if she can accept them or not, though.
Now, Sign, I asked Joshua if he ever thought about being a referee at a tea house. Could you yourself be seen maybe making a promotional event at a tea house as a one-time referee? Tea house.
I officiated at a coffee house that sold tea.
There you go. Okay. Very nice. Okay. Now,
actually,
Sign,
two of them.
Really? Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
There's one up in Marysville for CPW. And then Death Wish Coffee in Boise, Idaho, which was one of the largest crowds that Wrestle Club ever had. Those matches just popped up in the last couple of weeks on their television.
Death Wish Coffee, yes. Okay. Very good. All right. Well,
you've not seen the episodes from there. I definitely encourage you to do so. They were fantastic.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Sign, I also mentioned Dave Barnett being a referee for the Razor Ramones. Does he indeed provide security for the Razor Ramones? And has he counted out 1, 2, 3 to start a Razor Ramon song?
I believe the answer to both is yes.
Oh, okay. Wow, very good. I could see Dave Barnett counting out 1, 2, 3 like Didi Ramone. The question
I believe that's one of his main duties.
Have any of the band members accused him of counting too slow?
Not to my knowledge. Now, QT, is it your goal in 2020 to fly out and attend a Razor Ramone show and assist Beast Barnett in the counting of three?
That would be very good. I think I should do that because I haven't missed a day of work at the Tacoma Mall Plaza, which I'm scheduled Monday through Friday. Haven't missed a day, and for a whole year. It'll be a whole year coming up. Let me see now. When did I? Oh yeah, November. So I've been pretty steady there. I think a Friday off to fly out to a Razor Ramon concert would be pretty nice.
I think you're right. You'll have to look at their schedule.
The beauty of that sign, Guy, is you could cut down on your shipping costs of, say, Haribo Bear candy. I could carry it on the plane with me. Yes, cut down the cost.
I think so.
Now, sign guy, you yourself sent some books. No, yeah, some books to someone lately. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans who that person was and if that person may be stenciling or producing a flyer for next month's shows on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show? Can you tell us that?
Well, they haven't been sent yet. They go out Monday. But, of course, Stompin' Steve does our flyer work. Anyone's Star Wars books is compensation. He loves Star Wars books.
That's what I thought. And do you yourself know if Stompin' Steve has a light a Star Wars saber? Star Wars saber.
A lightsaber?
What did I say?
You said a light Star Wars saber, but is it a lightsaber? I don't know if he does or not. Are you going to purchase one for him if he does not?
I believe I am going to purchase Stompin' Steve a Star Wars saber belt buckle. Star Wars saber belt buckle.
Well, maybe you should potentially buy him the Death Star belt buckle. That might be more appropriate.
No, I'm going to stick with the kind of like the wand. And I only say this because I'm deeply influenced by a YouTube video. And I encourage all wrestlers out there, including Gregor Petrov, if you're listening, to look up the Rajesh Guthrapali Howard Wolowitz lightsaber belt buckle video. Lightsaber belt buckle. It's hilarious. Yes.
Well, now I think you have to come up with that belt buckle for Stompin' Steve, lest he chokeslam you out of anger.
There is that possibility, yes. There is that. If he's not overcome with laughter, yes.
I think he would be overcome with laughter after he sees the indentation in the floor after the choke slam, should you fail to get his lightsaber belt buckle.
Yeah. I personally think there's a 99.9% chance that after seeing this Raj Guthrapali Howard Wolowitz belt buckle video that he would want one. Yes, that he would want one. Yes. I'm not so sure about Gregor Petrov, though, who I saw in action last week. Yes.
Indeed, he wrestled the newcomer Damon Devine last week in the main event for Blue Collar Wrestling.
Yes, and I had a chance to speak with Damon Devine, that young man who is very powerfully built. He reminds me of a Brickhouse Beretta. Hopefully we'll have him on the show. Yes.
Hopefully we do have some feelers out to see if we can make that happen.
Okay. Any chance, do you think any chance in the new year that we will see the launching of Kickstart Your Heart jumper cables by QT Vokes and Gregor Petrov? Kickstart Your Heart.
All right. Now, QT, I noticed that Randy Zellers, one of the fellers, tied for first place in this week's top 9 7/8 wrestler rankings. When will he be getting his fruit pie?
I believe he is going to be getting his fruit pie at the October 5th wrestling event in Marysville, Washington. That's on a Saturday.
Oh, okay. And you're sure that he's booked on that day?
I'm hoping so, yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully he is, because you owe him a fruit pie.
Well, yes, that's true. I'm always... Now, last week at Blue Collar Wrestling, I substituted a couple of potato chips bags of potato chips for fruit pies. Mad Dog Jameson may have got one. In fact, I know he did. Mad Dog Jameson.
And he wasn't too angry?
No. I managed to avoid security and reach over a barrier and give him one.
You almost got caught by security. I saw them escort you back to your seat. I thought Jakari was going to take you out.
But I kind of slumped back in shame. Well, semi-shame. Semi-shame, yes.
I believe Jakari was paid a bonus for that.
Okay. All right. Well, Sign, I know you have to get off to Everett, so I will let you go. Yes.
All right. Well, fans, if you're in the Everett area, come say hello and goodbye to Aubrey Edwards tonight, her last WAC appearance. They put on a great show, so make sure you support them. If you're in Portland, 9th anniversary for Blue Collar Wrestling today. 9 years they've been in business. QT, can you believe that?
It has flown by. It has flown by like a time warp. Yes.
Indeed. Well, fans, we'll be back with you next week, next Friday, our tribute to Buddy Wayne of Memphis, not the Pacific Northwest one, the Memphis one. And a week from today, QT, I think you'll be excited. We have Cowboy Scott Casey on the show.
Boy, do I have a lot of questions from the book that I read. Yes.
Indeed. So, fans, get out there, support your local independent wrestling, and we'll be back with you next week.
Oh, okay.
I believe in